I'm coming strong, and I am a player. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion.
Hello, welcome back to Trash Opinions. This is Trash. Last time we looked at Australian Outback, and now we're going to look at Survivor Africa. Survivor Africa is really interesting for a couple reasons. First of all, it's one of the only seasons that doesn't have a beach at all. And it seems to be one of the hardest seasons to be a part of. Like, they really had to go through a lot on this season. The drinking water was atrocious. The food situation was bad. There was, like, lions everywhere. It was bad. I would not have wanted to be part of this season, but... And if you haven't watched Borneo and you need a refresher on the tier system, you can watch that and get reacquainted with my tiers. But if you like what you're seeing here, I do this all the time. I'm trying to put out a video at least once a week. Without further ado, here is Africa.
I didn't ask for beans.
Was it one of the big cans of beans?
I don't know about that.
You didn't ask for
it? You didn't ask for food?
I didn't ask. He said he was going to open up because he said I needed to eat.
That's a lie, dude.
I don't know if I trust.
That's a lie.
It's not
That's
either.
Lie.
That's a lie.
Clarence, that is not.
Diane, oh my God.
Clarence, I didn't ask you for a can of beans.
Diane.
I told you, I didn't want, I wasn't
Diane,
hungry, I didn't want
Diane,
anything.
Diane
Ogden. I am rather impressed with how she tried to get out of being the first boot. At this stage of Survivor, you expect the first boot to just sit there and take it, but she was so ready to throw Clarence under the bus. We really didn't get much of her. She's really easy to forget about, but she's an older woman who gets sick, and with that combination, I see no scenario where she's not an early boot on any season. But I don't really give a shit about Diane Ogden, and I love first boots. She's going in meh.
I don't know why I'm shaking. I don't know if it's because of lack of water or because I'm cold. And I'm probably the only one that hasn't had any water. It's just very bad. It's like tar.
I have to drink it. I have to drink.
Oh my God, I never thought drinking water would be so hard.
I think we're all worried about Jesse.
Jesse Camacho. Will somebody please give this girl some chapstick? I heard Brandon brought some. The first Latina ever on the cast, which is wild to think about. Now, Jessie is someone I have a lot more faith in having lasted longer if she didn't get very, very sick. I just felt bad for her on her entire run. She really didn't get an opportunity to be herself as a character since she started and ended her game sick and useless. I feel very comfortable putting her in Didn't Get a Chance.
And what do you drive?
Huh?
What do you drive?
You don't want to know what I drive.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't want to know what I drive.
Aw, tell me, Doc.
I'm not telling you.
I guarantee
it's a Mercedes.
Mercedes.
I have one of those.
What else?
What else?
I'm not telling you.
Is it a little
it's
car?
Okay,
a Porsche. A Porsche.
It's a Porsche.
Give a Porsche.
I'm trying to get a...
Carl Bilancione. Carl is certainly one of the Survivor contestants of all time. I expected a Pat Cusack-type character, but instead Carl's just dull. He was the sorta kinda leader of the old people on Sambu, then he failed to pull in Silas. He also pissed off his tribe by bragging about his cars, and then he was gone after losing a Survivor trivia contest to Lindsay, which is a dumb way to decide a vote, but whatever. And then he was wiped from everyone's mind. That's all you can really say about the guy. Carl sucks. Meh.
Thank you!
So I'm sorry that
you know
it happened.
Yeah, we gotta go.
You know what, Linda?
I've been dying to be on this team.
Let's
be on the team.
Linda, this morning really came unglued. She has two very, very different sides. It's like this sweet little New England mom, and then there's this, I don't know, crazy woman side too.
You know, I'm ready to be on the team.
Frank, how do you
ready to be on the team, honey? Can I have a hug? Because you're even hesitating. Give me a hug.
Right,
you know, why can't you hug me?
I hug Frank. Come on, Frank.
Can we demonstrate a hug?
Frank.
This is a hug, sweetie.
Come on.
Come here.
Did your mama never hug you? There you go.
Linda Spencer. Yeah, Linda's great. She just wants to be part of the team. She's such an embarrassing grandma, like that aunt who tries way too hard to be the cool aunt. I'm not sure what's funnier, the fact that she actually said, "Didn't your mama ever hug you?" to clearly not wanting to be hugged Lindsay, or how sincerely she apologized after for it, only to be booted next. Honestly, I wouldn't want to be hugged either. Get off of me. We smell like shit, dude. Her entire crazy mom vibes are something I am totally here for, though. I love her drinking the cow's blood and going full Gene Simmons with it. We need more Lindas on Survivor, honestly. How she totally calls out Silas for being phony is fantastic.
Silas with the knee, I've seen him on the knee twice, and I looked at that, and I guess, I don't know, that's like a football thing where the coach gets down and just whatever. Maybe it's genuine. It seemed so cheesy to me.
It's a shame she was taken away from us way too early, but she was never meant to last anyway. Linda's great, very underrated character, and definitely belongs in Delightfully Crazy.
Because I agree with Brandon. Let me throw this out, and I don't want the day to be bad anyway. Yeah. But let's just be real here that we're playing a game. Lindsay already has 4 votes against her.
If you ever go into a tribal council with a tie, like myself and someone else, the tiebreaker is who has the most votes is out.
None of us have 1 vote against us.
Yes.
Not one.
Except for Lynn.
Except for Lindsay.
This is the key.
I
never thought I'd say, vote for me 3 times tonight. Come on. But it'll help us. It'll help us in the end, as long as I don't get voted for, you know, once the merger happens.
Whoever's being voted off tonight should vote for Lindsay.
And what's in it for us?
Nothing.
Silas Gaither. There once was a man from Samburu who said to the older group, "Screw you." And a swap shirt had come, his gameplay was dumb. So goodbye, Silas, we hardly knew you. Silas sucks so hard, and his comeuppance was sweet, sweet poetic justice. He treated the entire older half of the tribe like shit, and telling them they need to vote for Lindsay so no one else has votes. Like, what the fuck even was that? The cheek on this fucker. You're really gonna order them around while being fully obvious about your plans to pick them off one by one? What steel-plated gonads. Silas is the original quote-unquote swap-screwed player, even though if you ask me, he's the merge boot, even if he makes the merge. He did not put himself in a good position in the game, which is hilarious for someone as arrogant and cocksure about his position. His game was straight dead in the water. He's not a good player, and I don't consider him to be a screwed-over player. He did it to himself. He does have a fascinating downfall, though. He's going into fun downfall for sure. He's the poster boy of it, pretty much.
And the people that get up right away need to just be patient for those that need a little extra sleep that may have stayed up a little bit later.
By the time I got back to camp, I felt really angry. Just like, it all hit me. Just like, oh my God, they picked me, those bastards. You know, and I just got really angry and I just wanted to lash out and just be mad at those 3 people for voting for me.
Seriously pumped to get an award tomorrow.
Seriously pumped.
Yeah.
And trust me, when I'm pumped, you don't want to f*** with me. Don't underestimate me, people.
Lindsay Richter. Lindsay. What to say about Lindsay? I will be the first to call Lindsay one of the most forgettable characters on the entire cast, up there with Carl and Jesse. She's just kind of there for most of her episodes, and then she gets a bit of a tough girl edit, and then she has a really annoying exit. Even Jeff is looking at her like, "Sit the fuck down and let me read the votes."
So sorry.
Okay.
Stop.
It's me, go.
Lindsay.
Guys, it's a game.
Lindsay, where are you going? Sit it. That's 3 votes, Lindsay. 3 votes, Tom. We're going to vote again.
I don't want to put her in any sort of rootable sub-tier because I really don't like her as a character. Does anyone actually like her? I've never met a Lindsay Richter fan either, so I'm going to have to put her in... meh.
I love it this morning when Kim brought over that egg. Because last night, Clarence was like, "Well, one of them have an egg. We don't have to eat the chicken."
Wow.
What's up?
Oh, hell no. Come on. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No chicken for you.
I hate you and you and you and you. And you did it just to spite me. So, whatever. And they laid the smallest egg possible, too.
Scrambled that egg, it might disappear. Oh, I hate those chickens.
Clarence Black. Clarence is just plain hilarious, and it's a shame he was taken from us way too soon. It's a shame he never returned, too, because I would love to see Clarence on a modern cast. I felt bad for the guy during the debut. They were dogpiling him in that premiere when he just made an honest mistake and literally telling him they would murder him if they could. Beamgate is super uncomfortable. It's icky, and it has an air of racism to it.
Hey, Clarence. Diane talk like you want to eat some while he's gone. If you have, you need to confess up. Explain why you thought you should eat a can of food.
I got her something to eat, so we split it while she was gone, just so she could feel better.
Well,
she does.
I just wanted to make
it. I ain't got to eat.
Okay, I just wanted to make
it. Ain't no big deal.
It's a big deal to me.
It's a big deal to me, too.
And I want to make it straight right. Anybody that eats without the rest of it, it's a big deal.
Now, I opened the can because she needed something to eat. It was a judgment call. It was a judgment call I made.
It was a bad damn judgment.
There's eight of us.
You guys were gone.
It don't matter. We're all making it. You can't make the decision.
Tommy, I had to open it for her.
You don't have to open it to her.
Well, then it should, right. She should have eaten.
You a doctor?
Then.
Let me see your license. You ain't no doctor.
I'm saying I made a call for her. I did not open the can for me. Opened the can for her.
But did you eat any?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's
you made the call for you, bro.
You made the call for you, too.
You made the call for all of us. And I don't think you got that right. You don't eat without all of us.
My apologies.
Okay, apologize to that woman because you took her food. Apologize to that. You took her food.
I'm sorry.
This man right here, you took his food.
I'm sorry.
Right there.
I'm sorry.
All right.
You only got to tell me once.
But this issue is cut and dry.
Okay.
You
that's
blew
what I want to hear.
And we're pissed off. And we now need to deal with a situation where we were starting to build trust. The trust has been broken, and it needs to be built from square one. We need to start over now, because right now, we're all wondering if we can leave anybody alone.
If you did that in the Army, you made a bad call in the Army, you'd be kicked out of there so
fast.
Hell,
they'd shoot you.
They'd shoot you. You'd be code red.
I'd shoot you.
There were only three.
No. Judgment call was made by one person.
I won't tell you. I wasn't going to not tell you guys.
Where's the can right now?
I put it up. I tossed it. I was walking out.
Did you hide it?
No. I was on my way walking to get some sunscreen. I tossed it.
He totally deserved a better tribe, and it sucks he was the social outcast from the start and the obvious merge route. The scene with him waking up to find the chicken egg after telling the tribe if there's no egg by tomorrow morning, we're eating the chickens the night before, is absolutely hilarious. His reaction is pure gold. Telling all the chickens how much he hates them, "You did this just to spite me," was one of the funniest moments of the entire season. Him painting his abs is also amazing. He's a trip. Clarence is a treasure. There hasn't been many more hilarious than this guy, and he very much belongs in hilarious.
Frank is a very big loner. He socially seems so inept. I mean, I guess probably a large section of the population is introverted and antisocial, and that's fine, but I feel like there are prescription drugs to counteract that, and he should maybe be on them.
Kelly Goldsmith. I actually really like Kelly Goldsmith. She's a great narrator and is kind of forgotten about in the sea of great pre-All-Star characters, but she is up there for me. She stands out next to the absolutely boring younger women on the season. Her confessionals are super underrated. She's actually hilarious in a lot of them. Her criticism of Survivor food was so much fun. I love how she complains about it not being good, even though she's starving, just so the other people don't feel bad about not eating.
Hey, you guys, eat quietly.
Okay.
Sorry, we're very sorry.
It's a little bit cold. You guys, it's not even finished cooking yet. You're lucky. Don't do it.
She has this fun little pissy feud with Lex where Lex is hilariously wrong and throwing a tantrum over a stray vote that she didn't even cast. She seems so sympathetic next to the absolute raving man-child that is Lex.
I'll be straight with you because I can't play that line game.
Oh, and as if that's more ethical, because Lex is like, well, I can't boldface lie to him. Okay, you can just lie to him all day when it would be inconvenient to tell him the truth. But then the last possible moment you'll slip in the truth and that's going to make you an ethical person.
This morning, Lex was just a total jerk. I mean, what do you expect in this game?
I mean, I'm sorry. Someone voted against you, Mr. Ego. Deal with it.
He was not me.
I swear on your brother.
I swear on my brother. I swear on my brother's name. I swear on both my parents. I really would. I'm looking at
you. You are?
I am. I am. I promise you.
Okay, well, it really wasn't me, but screw you, Lex, if you're going to sit here and yell at me like you're my dad, and I'm five, and I just stole cookies for something I didn't do.
In general, all of Kelly's criticisms of Lex are incredibly accurate, actually. She just tells it how it is. I'm actually going to put her in hilarious.
I will be honest with you. I can't say as I've ever known a gay man. If it did, he'd still in the closet. Do you know what I'm
saying?
You
know, that's probably it right there. A lot of people know him. They just don't know him.
I got in trouble in college at a gay bar. I went in, didn't know it was gay.
Oh. And he was talking about something, and he had gone to a gay bar or something. I don't even know. I really wasn't paying that much attention to him.
Brandon Quinton. Snarky gay guy, usually up my alley. But instead, Brandon is in this weird snark purgatory where he's not as funny as a Courtney Yates, but not as mean as a Corinne Kaplan, but not as memorable as a Colton Cumby. Honestly, snark without a great sense of humor to back it up just comes off as annoying and catty, which will be an ongoing theme with these rankings. He's also just kind of a dick. Lindsay wasn't great, yeah, but the fact that he has a confessional talking about how happy he is that she's gone after the night before she called Brandon a friend, and it just comes off as so shitty. The scene with Tom and Brandon up by the campfire got a bit of a chuckle out of me, but it mostly just came from how awkward Tom was being. None of the humorous parts about that scene come from Brandon himself, so I can't even count his best scene in his favor. He just comes off as kind of a complaining douche most of the time. He also sinks his own game. I found Brandon to be kind of annoying.
Right! What branch of service were you in?
I was in the American branch. I felt freedom.
Frank Garrison. You would not expect this guy to be from New York. I have no idea how to feel about Frank. On one hand, you would think I would love him, because he's out of his goddamn mind. Like, come on, that shit with him and the deer antlers? That would be gold if it weren't so goddamn confusing.
Yeah, before we head off to immunity challenges, I make it a point to go over there, and I grab this set of deer antlers I brought as a luxury item, and I begin striking them together. And it's like two mature white-tailed North American bucks fighting.
Frank has, I think they're deer antlers, and he goes over to the our sign, our Samburu sign, and freaks out with them.
Something fighting, you know, like it's two horns clashing, like he's like this big testosterone stud.
It's just that spirit in him driven in, and I want them to see that, you know, what is he doing? And they're hitting on the ground as their paws on the ground and their bodies hitting, you know, and smashing. And I want them to see and say, Frank's getting in the mood. Look at him. He's getting in the mood. And they should be thinking, maybe we should be getting in the mood. Come on. Yes, we want to win.
Even with context, it makes no damn sense. I can't imagine how everyone in the camp felt looking at this absolute lunatic smack the crap out of a pole using deer antlers out of nowhere. I feel like he's weird in a fascinating, fun way, kind of like an alien trying to cosplay as a human. I also just love how awkward he is. His never have I ever is never have I broken the honor of a handshake.
I'm supposed to say something like that I've never done.
Right.
And then that's the
people,
truth.
The people that have
right,
never done it also
say,
you've literally never done it.
I've never broken the honor of a handshake. It's just a golden rule I was brought
no,
up.
No, I like it. That's I'm good. Just, I'm you know, very respectful of that. That's
you
great.
Know, even I enjoyed it.
What? Him not knowing what brunch is also bizarre, not to mention the scene with the elephant.
And what is brunch again, exactly?
Brunch, depending on where you go, is all in any kind of seafood, too. Eggs, just huge, and it's just always a set price. I mean, you get a lot of food for your money.
Frank knows a lot of things, and I can't believe he's never heard the term brunch before.
It's a combination breakfast-lunch.
Yes.
And served when?
There was a big bull elephant right next to our camp. Frank, he was making an elephant motion, and I don't know. I really don't know what he was doing, but he was messing with that elephant.
I'm just imitating him, that's all. Just see if he relaxes. I'm sure by an elephant's eyesight, he's not exactly sure what I am. So maybe whatever visual he has, he just sees a gentle tail sway, a little loping.
It was amazing, where he's trying to mimic the elephant to make it comfortable as the rest of the tribe is looking at him as he's nuts. He teaches his entire tribe how to use a bow and arrow, acting like an authority, only to miss every single shot in the actual challenge, which is hilarious. One thing about Frank, see, most people would avoid politics on Survivor, in fact an overwhelming 99.9% majority do, and then there's Frank, who just comes out the gate with, so anyway, fuck liberals.
Can't help it, these little liberal special interest groups that the media give open market to instead of the average working class American that founded this country.
Like, damn, Frank, you're literally thousands of miles away from America right now, my guy. Chill. I'm just astounded he got as far as he did. On most seasons, he's the first boot. He's lucky he got to be on a tribe with Linda and Carl and then get swapped into a favorable position and then slink away into the merge, where nobody looked at him as a threat. Frank is an absolutely bizarre character, and I find him to be very entertaining.
I don't ever want to eat corn again. Not a corn tortilla, not corn flakes, not corn on a chowder, not corn chowder, not corn in the can, not green corn, not corn bread, no corn muffins, no burritos, no corn tortillas, no popcorn at the movies. No more corn.
Kim Powers. You know, people give Parvati and Julie Berry all this credit for pioneering the flirt game, but Kim Powers was actually doing that a full 4 years before any of them were. Kim Powers actually played a very similar role Parvati did on Cook Islands, actually, except Kim is not nearly as interesting. However, I do think it was interesting how she was perfectly willing to turn on Brandon this early in the series. Just, he doesn't do much anything of merit outside from flirting and almost puking that one time. Kim Powers is going in meh.
The sun'll come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow.
What's she singing?
She's singing Tomorrow.
From Annie?
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, you're only a day.
So talented!
Teresa T-Bird Cooper. T-Bird not making the cut for Cambodia, yet Kelly Wigglesworth, Kimmy Kaffenberg, and Jeff Farner did is a goddamn travesty. T-Bird is one of the best characters of the pre-All-Stars era, and she's just so goddamn adorable I can't take it. Her singing Tomorrow? Iconic. The scene of her and Clarence during the Merge Immunity Challenge, her saying, "You're just trying to trick me, I don't like it," and pouting, was way more endearing than it had any right to be. I'm not sure if it appealed to anyone else but me, though.
Kinda made that up. Trying to trick me, I don't like it.
How could you not love T-Bird, though? She has so many entertaining moments. Her admitting to having sex in an airplane was hilariously candid.
I've never had sex in an airplane.
I have.
And her confessionals are also great. She plays an incredibly impressive game, which makes her snub from Cambodia that much more painful.
Somebody around here is claiming to be something that they're not.
Of course, they figured that Clarence had voted in. They had to figure out who the other person was. It was me. I mean, I did it. I'm sick that I did it now, but like I said, I didn't think it'd be such an ordeal.
You know, I want you to know that I have no suspicion at all as far as you're concerned. And I'm just going to let this thing go now that whoever it is probably going to hang themselves.
She is totally going in love.
Good job, T.
How good is it?
Good enough to make you want to slap your mama.
Bring it on, baby. Throw the corn right in front of you.
Throw it at line.
A chicken kind of walked by Tom. He's laying down, half asleep. Just got both legs. The chicken, he's like, got it. It was pretty impressive.
No, Tom, no, we're not killing her today. Tommy, stop.
Big Tom Buchanan. Big Tom is a funny dude when he is, and he's one of the better characters on the season, even if he does have a lot of moments that I don't find to have aged well. But the visual of him with the feather in his ass crack and flapping his wings just absolutely sends me. And his final tribal council question, that shit was hilarious.
If a hyena came through camp and eat our mush, and then after he ate it, he turned around and licked his hind end, did he do it because that was the animal instinct or because to get the taste of the mush out of his mouth?
Yeah, there's some ickiness in the opening episode with him literally telling Clarence he would shoot him if he had a gun, and some jokes that have not aged that well. And how weird he is about Lex pulling a tick off of Lindsay's butt, but Tom is mostly just a ridiculous human being. He does not come off as annoying as he will later down the line, but he has more good than bad on this season. Not to mention, his weight loss is insane. A lot of people find that he's a Jew, he doesn't eat ham, seem to be insensitive towards Ethan.
I'll kill you, I'll kill you, I'll kill you, after I kiss you. Ham, he's a Jew and he won't eat the ham. He's a Jew. He's a Jew.
But I found it to be humorous. It's more about how excited he is over the ham than anything that gets me. It's him realizing, I'll get all this ham to myself. More than anything, really, this man is hilarious.
Blake, I'm glad you picked me. You didn't want to. You'd probably been bored somebody else. You knew you didn't. Here, you'd probably went to bed at 7 o'clock. Hey, bartender, fix me a toddy. All Big Tom will love everybody. Don't worry about them crocs. All Big Tom got some stinky socks.
I want to go back to camp with you, and I swear it. But I don't want you walking back there thinking that the only reason I'm still in the game is by your good graces.
I'm not.
And I'm not here because anybody carried me along. No one carried me here.
No.
You're responsible because you're here. I'm responsible because I'm here. It's not because Big Tom did Lex a favor that I'm here.
I haven't, sir.
Lex Vandenberg. While Lex is not my favorite character on this cast, I must admit he is a charismatic narrator and possibly the most memorable character on this season. I consider him the real main character of Survivor Africa. However, that doesn't mean I like him. I don't, at all. I personally roll my eyes at his whole honor and integrity spiel, even though I'm sure some people love it. It's clearly jury pandering, and if he just admitted to it, that'd be cool, but he doesn't. And he's just so full of shit that it's coming out of his ears. I get that he's respected as one of the best players to never win the game, but I don't even think that highly of his game. I think Ethan played a much better game, and while people say that Lex beats Ethan in the end, I tend to disagree with that. Lex takes over the game, but he's just so fucking annoying to me that I don't care about how good potentially his game might be. I roll my eyes at him constantly, and I think he's just a big whiny baby on this season. He treats Kelly Goldsmith for shit for something she didn't even do.
And then there were two votes that came in with my name on them, and I was really surprised. I kind of figured that Clarence would vote for me, but when the second vote came in, I was pissed off. I was furious.
I will not live with a snake.
Yeah.
I will cut the head off of whoever it is that did this, and whoever it is that has poisoned this with scheming lying is going to go down next. Mm-hmm. That is just the way it is, and I'm going to take him out. I'm going to slit their throats.
And acts like he's this beacon of high morality when he's just as fake and shitty as the rest of them. He's playing the game, but he refuses to admit that he's playing the game. And he doesn't do it in an entertaining way the way some people do it later in this series. He does it in an incredibly annoying way that makes me strongly dislike him. Lex kinda sucks. I honestly wish he was a lot cooler, but I consider him to be very annoying.
If Clarence lets go and takes that pizza and sits here and eats the whole thing himself, which he would, I'll kill him myself.
Which he would.
I'll kill him myself.
Kim Johnson. I mean, Kim was there. They tried to give her a good edit, but she only had so much to offer as a character. I mean, I guess running around in a thong during that one challenge was pretty funny. I guess. What else did she do? Okay, I guess she had an okay game. But she essentially was dragging along two people who beat her. She's actually incredibly unmemorable despite being the runner-up. Bottom tier runner-up in my opinion. Meh.
The only thing I can tell you is that
by being older than every single one of you. All of you made me feel young. You all made me feel important. Without exception, each one of you has helped me be the best that I can be. And so I'm leaving here like a winner big time.
Tom's feet stink, perhaps the worst I've ever smelled of anyone's feet on the planet Earth. And they smell so bad. He's got some funk down there that I've never smelled before. They're bad. He's got a problem. I think he's got a problem.
Ethan Zahn. Lex's less abrasive sidekick, the first ever nice guy winner. First ever to think to throw an immunity challenge, too. A true trailblazer in intentional failure. I like Ethan. He can be a little flavorless, but he's likable enough where you want him to succeed, and I feel like the rest of the cast felt the same way because the man didn't have a single vote cast against him all season. I like how on a show where an ex-NFL player, an ex-baseball player, and ex-basketball players have been so stressed about hiding their identity, but Ethan's not worried about it the entire time, and my theory is because he knows that deep down Americans don't give a single shit about soccer. The entire reward of him and Lex trying to sell the goats is the most awkward shit I've ever seen in the show so far. How is that a reward? That would drive my anxiety through the roof. Ethan complaining about Tom's stinky feet is also very irritating. Ethan has a pretty big fan base, for good reason, though I never really considered him to be one of my favorite winners. I do like him a lot, but I'd put him on the same level of a winner as Tina, character-wise. He's definitely a good player.
The game consumes so much of everyone, and sometimes it clouds people's personality. It clouds the way you act. It clouds the way you treat other people. So it was important for me to achieve those goals. And if you knew me from day one, if you knew me from the switch, if you knew me from the merge, it's important just to, you know, look at the whole picture and gotta vote what's in your heart. That's all I have to say.
Survivor Africa is not one of my favorite seasons. I find it to be kind of a slog, but it's also a step forward at the same time. It's a lot more gameplay driven than the last two seasons, even if they still focus a lot of content on the survivalist aspect of the show. The cast is nothing to write home about. Even the more iconic characters like Lex and Tom aren't always super great. Ethan is the only one to play three times, and he's still fondly remembered by Survivor today. T-Bird was in the running for second chance, but sadly did not make it. It's a tragedy. Survivor Africa is a middle-of-the-road season. It's not great, but it's not terrible, and it's definitely not as drawn out as Australian Outback, but it's also not as iconic. However, we are going on to Marquesas, a season I like a lot more with some fantastic characters and some mainstays of the entire series. We get our first member of my personal Survivor Mount Rushmore on this season, actually. Should be fun. Should be coming out soon. Thank you for watching. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day or night. Or if you're sleeping, I hope you have some wonderful dreams. Maybe I should do ASMR content. I don't know. Should I start doing? No, I'm not gonna do ASMR content. I'm never gonna do ASMR content. No, never, never. Okay, guys, bye.